God's children. They fight only for their own selfish vanity and greed.
Hey, kids, all praise be to the virtue of hustle, loyalty, and respect.
And who am I to say that?
What am I?
I used to be the type of kid that would always think the sky is falling. Why am I so differently wired? Am I a Martian? What kind of twisted experiment am I involved in? And I don't need no goddamn psychologist trying to diagnose. I have all these underlying problems, thinking he can try and solve them.
John Cena.
You remind me of one of those thoroughbred horses.
And he races.
And he wins.
And he wins. And the people, they just cheer for him.
But off in the distance, there's a woman's voice.
Eminem is not as good a rapper as me. John Cena is not as good a rapper as me. And this podcast is better than all of it. Because I'm going to tell you, you're entering the danger zone where Hulk Hogan is afraid to go. Because like I said in my rap music, he wouldn't man up. He wouldn't do it. And the WWE won't man up and put me in the Hall of Fame. But that's alright. Just sit back, relax, and listen. Chris Walder, are you ready to talk some wrestling?
Of course, brother. Let's do this thing.
Alright, I am James Borbath. And Randy Savage was once a rapper. He put out an album. I'm not going to say it's the greatest thing he's ever done, but it's Macho Man. It's pretty fun.
It's still worth a listen, that's for sure.
And I want to say right off the top, we were talking about this before we went on the air, someone who knew the Macho Man pretty well, Conan. From
A-Dog.
Yes, and Max Moon, once upon a time, back in the day. He gave my blog, Savage's Condo on the Moon, the host of the IWC podcast, a huge shout-out on his program on MLW this weekend, so thank you to Conan, and glad he enjoyed my comments on what they do over there on MLW, and that was pretty sweet.
That's pretty cool, man. You get a big name like Conan from Wrestling's Past and shouting out the podcast in your blog, that's really cool.
Yeah, so thanks to Conan, and thanks to Wei Ting, who also retweeted that from the law. So, you know, I'm fitting into this whole wrestling world here, Chris.
Moving
Walden.
On up.
I don't know if that's moving up from the NBA. It's moving somewhere.
It's in a positive direction.
I enjoy it, though. I'm having a blast talking wrestling, and it is not because of the build to WrestleMania, mind you, which I think has been maybe one of the worst builds I've ever seen to a WrestleMania. I don't even feel like WrestleMania is like less than 9 days away.
It's not even a build. It's more of an implosion than anything else. I don't, because a build would mean it's going up. Like you're stacking up towards something really good. But with this build, quote unquote build, it's caving in on itself. Like I'm not excited. Like you said, it's on April 6th, and I don't care yet. A lot of the feuds and the promos have just been blah. A lot of put together stuff, and it's not exciting me. It feels weird.
I'm gonna tell you something. I watched ROH TV this week. They did a better job setting up Adam Cole and his title match with Jay Briscoe for Ladder War, which will be down in New Orleans. I believe it's on the Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing two shows, and I think that's the Friday show's main event, Adam Cole versus Jay Briscoe for the ROH world title. And I'm telling you, we'll talk a little more ROH later, because I'm going to Global Wars.
Yes,
I got my ticket. Now you got to get your ticket if you want to
go. I got to get on that, man. I'm slacking. I got to get my ticket, ROH in Toronto.
It's our WrestleMania.
It really is.
We said this on the podcast. We are not one of the few, the proud that get to go to New Orleans, like our guest last week, Brian Fritz, who did an excellent job with me talking about WrestleMania and NXT, and thanks to him as well for coming on with me and talking, and thanks to you for, you know, sitting the week out. It wasn't that you were doing a bad job, I just want you to know that.
Yeah, let's just tell everyone that, and we'll keep it on the down low. I know you missed me, buddy. I know you wanted me there.
Oh, well, it all worked out, though, and you know what, the other thing, too, is, though, I will always like having you on because I only do the Macho Man with you.
Oh, I'm honored.
There you go.
I feel special now.
All right. What hasn't been special is a lot of these builds to WrestleMania. Let's start with the one that closed off Raw. The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, I honestly do not care about this match at all. I'm almost to the point that I don't even care if The Undertaker comes back anymore. I'm just, the streak is dead, even though it won't be dead, it's dead to me. And I'm amazed by that, because we've had 5 years of that being, honestly, the hottest thing on WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. I think we've reached that point where, especially after WrestleMania 28, when he had that end of an era Hell in a Cell match with Triple H and Michaels in there, it felt like that was kind of the end of just everything Undertaker related, with him being like the streak having this significance and, you know, having these big time matches. And then since then we had CM Punk at WrestleMania 29, which is fine, still a good match. Rest in peace, Paul Bearer. We don't know how that build would have ended up if he hadn't passed away. And now at WrestleMania 30 with Brock Lesnar, like you said, the build to this has been awful because they haven't made the fan believe, a common fan believe, that Lesnar actually has a shot at beating The Undertaker. We all know, like us, me and you, the IWC, we know Undertaker's not going to lose in New Orleans. But at the same time, for the common fan that's just going to buy a ticket, watching it on pay-per-view, watching it on the network, they want that thought in the back of their head that says, man, Lesnar may be able to end the streak. But they've done nothing to convince us of that.
An 8-year-old knows The Undertaker isn't going to lose this match.
Oh, God, yeah, that's true. Whatever.
It's so obvious. And some people are starting to suggest that this is The Undertaker's doing, because obviously he has approval on all this stuff.
Right.
And the way he's booked this has been terrible, if he's the one behind this booking. I think one of the things that got to me was things work in their time period and then they don't at certain times, and they run their course. That whole coffin gimmick, I'm so over it.
Yeah, it doesn't work in this era.
It opened and then he wasn't there and then he was and blah, blah, blah. I mean, Triple H just said we're in the reality era. Where's the reality in that?
Pops up in a coffin. Yeah, it was so lame. And then when at the end of the show, it looked like Lesnar botched that spot. I think he was supposed to actually go inside the casket.
Oh, who knows? I mean, he let's put it this way. The tumble he took over that casket looked a lot worse than the one Shawn Michaels took over it that allegedly hurt his back and put him out of wrestling for 5 years.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But now that looking back at the last couple of weeks with Undertaker and Lesnar, and we've seen more interaction with Heyman and Taker than anything else, but I don't know how healthy the Undertaker really is, because we haven't seen, with the exception of him stabbing Lesnar through the hand with a pen and then signing the contract, we haven't seen these two get physical yet. And I think that's kind of a cautionary thing for the WWE, because the last thing they want is for Undertaker to get hurt. And Lesnar, we know how physical he can get in the ring. If those two were to duke it out before WrestleMania, there is a chance that something bad could happen. So, but it just kind of, it doesn't make me excited, because it's like they're doing these back and forths. Last week with the stupid casket thing, it's like, this is why I'm supposed to care?
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. And I fear we're going to have an MMA mat war. That's what I think we're getting.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I think that's absolutely what we're going to get for the main part. We're going to throw in a few spots here and there. But basically, we're going to get an MMA mat war at WrestleMania. That's what I'm predicting between The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. And, you know, you can even go back to the match with CM Punk. And I think The Undertaker's age was showing there, but they did a brilliant job of covering it up. Because every time The Undertaker would go for one of those traditional spots, CM Punk would cut him off. And he would do it, or he would attempt to do it and fail. And I thought that was the brilliance of that match. Like, when CM Punk went up on the ropes and did the old school, I mean, what a move to get heat going against The Undertaker. That was just brilliant.
Well, it's a testament to how good CM Punk is, and obviously Brock Lesnar is not in that league. He's not much of a ring technician. He doesn't have the psychology of a CM Punk, and that's what makes me worried, because he can't carry The Undertaker in this match if it has to come to that.
Oh, he can't carry himself in a match. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He knocked himself out 1 minute into the match with Triple H.
we
got problems when it comes to Brock Lesnar. He's also the guy that attempted a moonsault and almost killed himself against Kurt Angle.
Yeah,
Brock Lesnar has some less than memorable WrestleMania moments, let's put it that way. And maybe it's the urn. CM Punk actually has the urn in his kitchen. We saw it in the interview with Ariel Helwani.
Yeah.
Maybe the power of the urn is real, and The Undertaker has it no more. I don't know, but that has not been the smoothest of builds. And then if the Andre the Giant Battle Royal was not bad enough for you, well, let me tell you something. We got a Divas Vicky Guerrero Invitational that involves every diva on the roster.
Because they all deserve to be there, James.
Okay. Oksana almost took out one of the divas. Scratch her. Rosa Mendez is still employed. That's news to me. We could go through a whole bunch of names and say, no, not really.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gets to this larger point. It's something I wrote about earlier in the week. WrestleMania, I get what people say. They're trying to reward people and get them on the card and get them some kind of payoff. But at the same time, isn't WrestleMania supposed to be the Super Bowl? It's the showcase of the immortals. Zack Ryder, Rosa Mendez, the redheaded girl from Total Divas are never, ever going to be immortals in their lives. They may think they are, they're not.
It's a good point, man. And I think it has a lot to do with the WWE Network, and they don't really have an idea of what they're going to be able to pay the guys who do appear on the show. So what they're trying to do is say, hey, let's get everyone on the show so we can at least guarantee them something. But it's like, okay, does Justin Gabriel really deserve to be on the card at WrestleMania? And the names you brought up, Rosa Mendez, it's like, okay, I'm not shelling out $60 to see these guys. We know they're filler. We know they're there just to fill out the Battle Royal and the Divas Invitational, but it's like, do they really deserve to be there? What is the perception of who really does deserve to be there? And I know that they don't be.
And I'd love to wonder and ask this question, and you wouldn't get an honest answer, I don't think. Although maybe from one person you would.
Yeah.
If I asked Dolph Ziggler how he feels about being in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, I wonder what he would say.
He'd give you a lot of curse words, and you'd have to bleep him out quite a bit.
And that's why Dolph Ziggler is in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. But in reality, I mean, for guys that are established on this card, this is kind of an insult.
It really is. I mean, especially, like, look at a guy like Big E. The World Heavyweight Championship and WWE title are now merged, so there's only one major title. But the United States Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, they're not being defended at WrestleMania. So what do? They throw Big E into the Battle Royal. We'll talk about Ambrose and the Shield later, but it's like being a champion in the WWE these days doesn't really mean a lot.
Well, Dean Ambrose is like on 313 days as U.S. champion.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Is that really an accomplishment? Because he barely defends the thing.
JBL points that out on TV, which is probably not a good idea either.
Yeah, you can't bury it. It can't bury it further.
Let's bury that title more than it already is. Good job, JBL. I'm loving our commentary team on Raw and SmackDown. They're doing just a bang-up job.
Well, it looks, I think, I have the list of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal competitors. We have 26 so far.
Oh,
so
don't like run through them all.
I'm not going to run through them. I'm not going to run through them, but it looks like there's four open slots. There might be some surprise entrance in this thing. I don't know.
JTG, there's hope for you.
JTG, he's one of the four. Oh my God! Well, I think I think Alexander Rusev is going to be one of the four. There's a report.
He's not listed in there already.
He's not actually.
Everyone's picking him to win.
Oh yeah, I'm picking him to win, but he hasn't been announced yet.
Maybe the crowd will turn on the Battle Royal, just like at the Royal Rumble, if Alexander Rusev is not in.
Oh my God! I hope he better be in, because I'm picking him ahead of time in all of my predictions. So but,
that's
yeah,
right. The angry wrestling podcasts of the world will not have this.
Oh, that's like picking Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble to win, and he wasn't
exactly.
in it.
Although let's put this in perspective. Everyone is saying Rusev, but everyone is also saying they're not a big fan of Rusev in this gimmick.
Yeah.
So, but that said, yeah, it's just like, I get it on the one hand, but Vince McMahon has always been a guy, this was a guy who made the speech about ruthless aggression.
Yeah.
And about having a competitive environment for this company, which both in storyline and behind the scenes has always been the case. It's like Vince has gotten soft. Is being a grandfather made him soft now and everyone gets a payday? Or, the whole thing with these payoffs and all that, it's never been explained. It's one of the reasons CM Punk, we assume, is no longer with this company.
Right.
Is this a way to kind of whitewash what this payoff will be? Because now we have 63 people on this card. I mean, surely to God, splitting things up, even though there's percentages and all of that, by adding all these people, that's got to change the pie somehow to make it look a little differently.
Well, I'm sure it's the top guys, you know, the Cenas and the Undertakers of the world are going to have their big paydays, but the rest of the roster, you know, from the mid-card down, they're probably shaking in their boots quite a bit because we don't know how successful this WWE network has been so far. We don't know how good the stream is going to be. That's going to play into it because there may be quite a bit of people who demand refunds after April 6th. So, but yeah, it's all a money issue in the end. And
so,
you're right, he is getting a little bit.
So what are you saying? Zack Ryder is going to have to give back his WrestleMania payday? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I just feel like, looking back on the launch of the network, I feel like they should have just debuted it after WrestleMania and just kept things in order as far as what the roster is used to. They get that's the one day of the year where they get their massive payday, and now it's like, ooh, what kind of money are we going to get?
No one knows. They might know, but no one's telling.
Oh.
Let's put it that way. No one's telling what's going on,
which is never a good thing.
Yeah, that probably isn't a good sign. People are that worried about it, like they're probably not going to say too much unless you're CM Punk. Then you just go home,
just leave. Yeah,
you say the heck with this, and I'm done with it. I mentioned Zack Ryder, and I don't even know if we should waste time on this. But have you seen his new YouTube thing?
I have, where he's basically burying his Long Island IZ gimmick, and he's trying seriously or what?
No, no. What he's doing is he's burying himself. That's what he's doing.
That'll get him over.
Congratulations, Zack Ryder. You don't get to have lightning strike twice.
It doesn't happen. he feels if he buries himself enough, the company will push him. That works. That's logical.
No, nothing's logical about Zack Ryder. He is. I feel Zack Ryder, that is a cry for help. Can we get Dr. Shelby to like seriously help this guy out?
Mm-hmm.
That might be the best gimmick for Zack Ryder.
Just to be like a depressed little prick where he can't figure out why he's not in the main events and not competing for the championship.
I just don't know. I just don't get it. I really don't. I'm so over Zack Ryder. It isn't funny. And I just don't get how he thinks this is going to work a second time.
Well, I mean, he's a talented guy. It's just that, first of all, that gimmick that he had in the past with Long Island IC was never going to push him into a main event, like a main event stature. And now that that's kind of like burned to crisp and he's trying to take himself more seriously, it's like, does he have the charisma otherwise to push himself back up to that level? And I feel like he may have already peaked when he had his internet show and he was feuding with Ziggler over the United States Championship. It's like, I don't know how it gets much better than that, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's over, Zach. Like, just, you know, you're going to be the first guy out of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. That could be the best spot you could hope for at this point in your career.
At least someone will take notice of him because he'll be the only guy on the mat.
Yeah, no, you know what? He'll probably get eliminated and he'll be one of those eliminations that they won't catch.
Yeah, they'll be like,
oh, wait, Zack Ryder's not in there anymore? Oh, well.
JBL will be like, oh, someone got eliminated. Ah, oh, I can't see. Don't worry.
Yeah, it wasn't anyone important, right?
Yeah. No, that's how you bury a guy.
Yeah, it wasn't anyone important. So, there you go. That said, we also have The Shield facing the Attitude Era, for lack of a better term. And
pretty much.
I don't get this. I mean, The Shield have been, aside from Daniel Bryan, I would say they are the best workers in this company for this calendar year. And I almost feel like they've taken a small step backwards in terms of their WrestleMania match. Last year, they got Big Show, Randy Orton, and Sheamus. May not like any of those guys, but they're way more over than Corporate Kane and the Old Age Outlaws, who have not appeared at a WrestleMania since, I want to say...
14.
Yeah, 14, so that's like 16 years ago.
Yeah. But there they are competing with The Shield, one of the worst possible matchups for The Shield you could possibly think of.
I have to only assume that this is fallout from the whole CM Punk leaving, Daniel Bryan taking his spot, that whole nonsense, because there's no other way to justify this. It's terrible.
It's bad, yeah. It's just another Brock Lesnar-Undertaker match. It's like, I don't really care. I like The Shield. Like, I think all three are talented guys, and I would have rather seen the three of them go against each other, maybe for the United States Championship, because they were teasing tension for the longest time, and now it seems like that's kind of out of the question now, and now they're being in this six-man tag team match with Kane, who I can't take seriously when he's wrestling in pants, and he doesn't have some sort of wrestling equipment, and the New Age Outlaws, who have been off TV for quite a while, and I'm supposed to think that those two guys who just got their butts kicked by the Usos are a threat to guys like Reigns and Ambrose and Rollins? Like, give me a break. I know they're part of the Authority and they're friends with Triple H, but it's like you couldn't have put two worse guys in this match to face three of the young bright stars of the company at WrestleMania.
It makes so little sense. And, you know, all the breakup angles just got abandoned. Real Americans, they're comfy and cozy. They're in a tag team title match now, it looks like.
Like it never happened.
Yeah, you know, they're buddies again. You know. Although maybe this is what'll happen. Cesaro will win with Jack Swagger, and from out of nowhere, Chris Hero comes in and elbows him in the head. The Kings of Wrestling are in WWE.
Here we go. Fantasy booking.
Not happening, but it would be fun.
Well, speaking of those, like, Cesaro and Swagger and The Shield and whatnot, do we think that either of those groups are going to break up at WrestleMania?
Well, I don't know anymore, because the word on the street is the WWE plans to push five people after WrestleMania.
Right.
Okay, here's a couple shocking ones. You're going to be shocked. Mm-hmm. They're going to push John Cena.
Get out of here. That's
I know. Great. Wow.
Whoa, didn't see that coming.
They're going to push Randy Orton.
Oh, Jesus.
Really? Christ.
Push Orton?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah,
but they're also going to push Roman Reigns,
right.
Cesaro, and our good friend Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. I can live with those final three names. The first two...
I don't even know how you push John Cena at this point.
Where do you push him?
What do you do? Does he take over the company and marry Stephanie? Like, what happens?
Yeah, like, hand over the keys, you know?
Like Triple H is getting old, Stephanie wants someone new to drool on?
What else could he possibly do at this point? He's won so many damn championships, he's main evented so many pay-per-views. He peaked 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know? It's like, what else is there to do with the guy?
That went right over your head.
What?
Someone for Stephanie to drool on. I was using Batista's line. See, Batista's lines don't work. They just fail.
Everything that has to do with Batista, I just kind of drone out, and I pretend like it was never said. That promo he had with... Orton and Stephanie was just beyond awful. Like,
well, his mic went out too.
It was so bad it was funny. Like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I cannot believe that. I mean, thank God for Daniel Bryan. We could have honestly ended up with Orton versus Batista at WrestleMania.
And his mic went out too, which was
hilarious.
Yeah, I know,
yeah. That was the icing on the cake right there.
Yeah, and Stephanie tried to bail him out and then slapped the taste out of his mouth.
Oh, he got it good.
Stephanie can deliver a slap.
Oh yeah, that was that. I felt that through the TV. That was pretty harsh.
You don't want to be on the end of one of those.
I don't want to be. That's true.
Maybe this is an invitational Divas match. Maybe Stephanie comes in. Oh. She is a former women's champion.
She could say that thing, that's for sure. I'd be at least a little bit interested if Stephanie threw her name in the hat.
In all honesty, in that Divas match, as crazy as it sounds, because we have the entire Diva roster on there, There is an opening for someone to walk into WrestleMania that isn't listed there and take the title.
So you think Stephanie would be a good fit?
No, I don't think Stephanie's the answer, but you could bring someone back. You could have Lita enter that match.
It's true.
You could have Paige come up. Because
I'd rather see.
Because the spoilers, by the way, that said, there was one spoiler out there that said Princess Abigail, Sister Abigail, debuted on SmackDown this week. I am here to tell you that did not happen. And it isn't Paige, because there was no Sister Abigail.
You're right, right.
So that still may be out in the cards, but as of now, it hasn't happened. So Paige could be one of those. And that would just be the ironic twist of it all, wouldn't it? You've built up all these girls, and then they just have someone else walk in and win the belt or be in that match.
Right. Well, I still think, I mean, we'll probably make our predictions next week or whatnot, but at this time, I just don't see the title changing hands. I mean, I'm going to stick with AJ Lee until I'm given a reason to otherwise.
She's facing 11 other girls. It's not looking good. Oh, by the way, your boyfriend isn't in the company, too. This smells of her losing the title.
But the total, like, I mean, the only other women in this match that really matter are the girls from Total Divas. And I think that if you threw the title into the picture there, it would, I don't know how you would really incorporate that onto the show. I think it's better off just keeping it with AJ. Keep this stupid streak of hers that doesn't mean anything and no one's really taking notice of.
Well, no, you give it to Brie Bella and she can wear it at her wedding, which will be the season finale for Total Divas, by the way.
You see Brian and Brie going up to the altar with their respective titles.
That would be great! Vince McMahon is loving this.
Ugh.
Vince McMahon thinks this is an awesome idea. He was the man that wanted to put Stephanie and Hunter's wedding on pay-per-view. You realize this.
Oh, is that true?
That is true.
I did not know that.
There is, in the latest Triple H video, there is actual footage of the wedding because McMahon wanted it recorded and he actually wanted to put it on pay-per-view.
Who would pay for that?
I would.
You would pay to watch Stephanie and Triple H get married.
Oh, yeah. Just for the reactions of all the people at the wedding. Because you know they all have to be, like, on their best behavior.
Yeah.
And I'll put a caveat to this. I would only have paid for it if you got the reception as well.
Yeah, the reception would be more interesting. The wedding ceremony itself, they're all sitting there and watching anyway.
No, that's fine. But I want the reception as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just for, like, Michael Hayes apparently likes to get his party on, and that alone might be worth the pay-per-view money.
And I think Patterson sang at the wedding, too. Pat Patterson, he was there singing. Oh, his thing on.
I'm sure it was quite the event.
Probably was, yeah. I wouldn't pay $50 to watch it, but, you know, wait until it comes on YouTube, and I'll sit back with my potato chips, and I will watch Stephanie and Triple H get hitched. Sure, what the hell.
I don't know. But anyway, that won't be on WrestleMania this year. They're already married. And
WrestleMania could use it, let's be honest.
Although, Triple H will be on WrestleMania. And I think, even though I haven't been all that thrilled with the build to this match, that's the match that probably interests me the most. Which is shocking because it isn't the title match. I think the title match is secondary.
Right. I'm going to stick with this. I think Triple H versus Daniel Bryan is going to be the best match of the night. I hope it opens the show, because then at least you can have, throughout the rest of the night, think that, you know, Daniel Bryan's going to be in the main event. He has time to get ready, heal up for Batista and Orton. And you're right. I think the WWE title match at this point is secondary to what we're going to see with Triple H and Daniel Bryan. And people are trying to convince me on Twitter, man, you know, now that Triple H has said that if he wins, he gets thrown into the title match, maybe there's a chance that he beats Daniel Bryan. Look, there is a 0.000 chance that Triple H is going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. This is all about Daniel Bryan overcoming his obstacles and getting past the Authority. He's going to beat Batista and Orton. He's going to win the championship. Stop with all of that crap. I'm looking for, I mean, even though the end result of the match is obvious, Triple H and Daniel Bryan is going to steal the show. I'm very much looking forward to it, James.
At some point, Triple H does have to beat Ric Flair's record, though. You realize that?
No. Why does he have to beat the record?
Because that's his idol. That's what they used to always say. Don't you remember back in the day when Triple H was racking up all these title wins? He had to beat Ric Flair's record. That's why all this was happening.
I don't think he's going to
beat. Actually, you know what's sad? John Cena's probably going to beat Ric Flair's record. I would much rather Triple H beat that record than John Cena.
I'd rather see none of them beat it. Why does it have to be beaten? 16 is like that record in wrestling that just like the streak. It's like, it doesn't have to be touched. Just leave it alone.
Oh, no. Ric Flair has insulted the WWE so many times by getting drunk, going to TNA, doing all kinds of wacky things. They do not hold his... Triple H personally may... The company does not hold that 16 times with any kind of reverence.
Well, I would rather see Triple H break the record then, because I think he's more, you know.
Yes, I'm kidding, of course. Daniel Bryan is going to win. I mean, let's face it. If he doesn't, I don't even want to know what's going to happen.
The fan reaction to Batista versus Orton versus Triple H is going to be hilarious.
Like, New Orleans had a hurricane and had many bad, real things happen in that city, and I don't want to demean any of that.
Yeah.
But what would happen in that Superdome? It may not be a hurricane, but it'll be close.
It'll be pretty damn close, that's for sure.
It'll be ugly, but I agree. I think there's no question. My questions lie for Daniel Bryan after this is all done. Mm-hmm. Because the way this company is set up, I'm not all that hopeful for his title run. Like, I just don't see where he gets to build on that moment. I don't see it. Like, there's not the obvious, okay, he's going to face this guy, then he's going to face this guy, then he's going to face this guy. That's the problem for me. Mm-hmm. I think him getting out of WrestleMania with the belt and getting on to Raw the next night, that's fine. That'll happen. But it is going to be a hell of a match, because whatever people say about Triple H, Triple H is a big game player, and so is Daniel Bryan. And to put those two guys in a match, you're getting one hell of a wrestling match.
Yeah, that's exactly why I think this is going to be the best match on the card. And to add on to what you said about Daniel Bryan and the championship, I think WrestleMania 30, with him standing on the top rope, saying the yes chance, holding both belts above his head, that's going to be his moment, and I think that's going to satisfy a lot of these disgruntled fans who have had a problem with the way the company has been booking him since SummerSlam. Now, if they take the belt off of him the next night on Raw, which I don't think is going to happen, I think they're going to give him a couple of pay-per-views to really go run with the ball, because at this point, it's like, what do you have to lose? They built up to WrestleMania, it's out of the way. These next fought, like Extreme Rules and then Payback or whatever the hell it's, the pay-per-views for the next coming months.
Well, everyone's locked in on the network. So, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with giving him a run right through till SummerSlam, like past it even.
Exactly.
Like, you're locked in. I mean, no one has to resubscribe, I think, until, what, right before Survivor Series it would be? Your 6 months, something like that? So, yeah, I would give him the whole 6 months and do what I could with it. But I don't know if the WWE feels that way. This wasn't their idea to begin with.
But they've caught lightning in a bottle with this whole yes movement. It's like, why not roll with it until it just loses steam, which it's eventually going to do. I mean, I love Daniel Bryan. I love all of these fans chanting yes. But everything just kind of dies gradually. I mean, this thing was built up gradually, but by the fans and their reactions and whatnot, but it's going to come to an end someday. Why not just try and make as much money off of this as possible, and then when the time comes, put it on somebody else. Put it back on Orton. Maybe when Batista's movie comes out, Guardians of the Galaxy, have him run with the title. Who cares? Just let Brian have his time to shine.
The one that makes all logical sense, but here's the thing. Vince McMahon has never been a logical person. And you think about back in the old days when anyone would come in from another company that was their star. How many of those guys really truly got over? The only guy I can think of is Ric Flair.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, it's a short list. Dusty Rhodes wore polka dots in the WWE, by the way.
Yeah.
One of the greatest of all time, Harley Race, one of Triple H's idols and one of the greatest wrestlers of all time for a lot of people. Yeah, he was the king with the stupid crown with the little chin strap. That was his gimmick. Yeah. And he lost it to Hacksaw Jim Duggan, that tactician of the ring.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, like, when the WWE doesn't come up with an idea, I'm not as convinced that they're all that. They'll play ball for a little while, but their tolerance for keeping with it, I wouldn't count on it.
And I was just thinking of this. I mean, we didn't really talk about it during our little piece with Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, but, you know, these reports are really coming on right now with, you know, the debut of Sting, either on Monday Night Raw the following night, or maybe even we get some sort of indication at WrestleMania. I think, you know, with the crappy build-up we've had for that match, maybe the saving grace would be after we see the debut of Sting. I don't know. Just to add on to what you said about former guys from different companies coming in and the WWE just dropping the ball, maybe, who knows what they'll do with Sting at this point.
Oh, we'll have two 50-year-olds in a match for the streak. That'll be exciting.
And they're already talking about giving that match a year run like they did with Cena and The Rock.
That'll be terrible. Like, honestly, I mean, I get how some people want to see it, but the time has passed. It's
so
over.
I want to see it. You honestly don't want to see that
no,
match.
No, I don't care. Sting's old. Did you watch him in TNA? He wears a T-shirt. He barely does anything. And The Undertaker needs all the help he can get in a match these days. It's in your mind, great. In reality, it sucks.
Well, I mean, if this was back in 1998, the match itself would probably be a lot better, but just the nostalgia of having Sting and The Undertaker, two guys who've had their careers mirror each other during the 90s when WCW and the WWF are going neck and neck, I just think that alone is going to sell this match. And you give it a year, you give Sting a year to train and get, you know, so he doesn't have to wear a damn T-shirt in the ring, and give The Undertaker a year to heal as well, this would be a great match for WrestleMania 31.
I just don't see it. I'll tell you another dream match that makes more sense because it involves a younger talent and an older talent. The Stone Cold Steve Austin versus CM Punk match. That works. Punk can work around Austin and he can make Austin look good. Where you've got two old guys in the ring that can't make each other look good, it's just not going to be that great. And these aren't two guys who are, like, promo machines either. I mean, The Undertaker barely talks with his gimmick. Sting, I'm sorry, I've never been a big promo fan of Sting. I think he's highly overrated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's showtime? Okay, great. You know, like, I'm sorry. I know people want to see this match. I think once they've seen it, they'll regret ever wanting to see it.
Well, if it's just one, if it's a one-time thing, I'm cool with it. I don't want to see it happen two or three times, you know, just to get more out of it. And there were the reports coming out, like, just a key plug, WrestlingRumors.net, we're reporting that this may be the only time we see Sting compete in a wrestling ring. So if we get one match and it's against The Undertaker on the grandest stage of them all, I'm cool. And then he can just kind of walk off into the sunset after that.
Well, yeah, because he could die, so could The Undertaker. They might not make it through the year.
They're old, but they're not old to the point where they can't even walk down the ramp and they might snap a bone or something. Come on, man.
Do we know that?
Well, I
can you confirm that?
If that's the case, then Undertaker's going to be dead as a doorknob by the time he faces Brock Lesnar.
I think Brock Lesnar might kill the Undertaker. I'm not convinced that won't happen.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe that, like I said, that's maybe why Brock Lesnar hasn't gotten physical with the Undertaker. And the first time he throws a punch in New Orleans, that's going to be the end of the Phenom.
It could be over. It could all end in New Orleans. Not intentionally. Quite unintentionally. One thing that will not be over in New Orleans, because I think both these guys will still be around, Bray Wyatt and John Cena, we played that promo off the top with the Eminem music in the background. This has been so good.
Perfect, even. I might go as far as saying this has been the perfect build.
It was not perfect, because that first week, John Cena was a clown. And thank God whoever it was got in John Cena's ear and said, "You're an idiot." No, when he came out there and he was talking about making fun of his shirt and singing like friggin' songs and doing that, just that lousy John Cena humor that only he finds funny.
Yeah, but you're going to get that all the time. You kind of have to accept it.
No, I don't. I do not have to accept it.
Nothing pleases you, James.
The Yes Movement has taught me I don't have to accept anything. I can just chant, "No, no, no," and it'll all go away. But in all seriousness, that was a terrible promo. It was a terrible way to start this feud. Ever since then, John Cena has gotten serious, and they have made this into one heck of an epic build for this match. And the one thing that concerns me is the fact of the word in that song and what this whole promo and whole build has been about a legacy and John Cena's legacy. That says to me, Bray Wyatt, son, you're not winning at WrestleMania. He's not destroying John Cena's legacy.
Well, I mean, I will agree to disagree. I still think Bray Wyatt's going to win at WrestleMania. I feel that there's more to gain by having Wyatt win and then Cena getting the upper hand at a following pay-per-view. I think this match is more about Bray Wyatt than anything else. John Cena, this is the first time in a very long time that he's not either main eventing or challenging for a championship on the big stage. And
no, he's fighting for something bigger, though. At least that's how they're building it.
Yeah,
he's
that's fighting, what they want you to think, yeah.
Well, no, but that's the point, right? The point is he's fighting for all of it. He's fighting for the C Nation, for all those little 8-year-olds, for all those Make-A-Wishes, for all those hats and wristbands that they sell and those T-shirts, all of that.
Which is also going to be there when he loses to Bray Wyatt.
But the way they built it, I'm very scared for Bray Wyatt in actually getting the win. Can they make it in some way where Cena still wins and Bray Wyatt comes out strong? I suppose they can.
Well, they could, but that wouldn't have the same impact as him just simply winning the match.
Well, let's put it this way. Now, people usually hate this, but could we have a heck of an epic match and at the end of it, Bray Wyatt just says screw it and gets disqualified and we'd accept that?
No, we won't see a shady finish to this match. No countouts, no disqualifications. There's going to be a winner. There has to be. With the way this feud is builded, I mean, you know, with the exception of that first week, which you were not a fan of, and now that I think about it, I wasn't that much of a fan of, you kind of have to have it culminate with this really good match where there is a definitive winner. And like I said, Bray Wyatt, I think, is going to win this match. Cena down the road, he can, you know, pick up a pinfall over the bearded wonder or whatnot, but I really do think that with the push they're trying to give Wyatt, making him more of a main event, credible player, having him compete against John Cena, like that's an accomplishment in itself. Say what you will about Cena, but if you're facing him at WrestleMania, that's a big deal, but I think he needs to go over in the end.
Here's my logic, though, and see what you think of this. Bray Wyatt doesn't win the match, he gets disqualified, but the result of it is John Cena's gone.
And what do you mean gone?
I mean he's gone. Like, we don't see John Cena again till SummerSlam gone.
I That's a tricky one, because we've how many times have we seen John Cena kind of either announce that he's going to be gone for a while and then he just
not for an injury, not for this, for storyline purposes. John Cena, you're on vacation. Go have fun with Nikki Bella. We're not going to require your services, and I'll give you the reasons why, and there's several. We mentioned about the WWE Network and how it works and how we're all locked in now. So, they don't need John Cena to pop a pay-per-view number right now. Mm-hmm. They've got their people all locked in. Daniel Bryan needs John Cena out of the way in order to get his proper run on the top. And Bray Wyatt, by being the guy that took John Cena out and really took him out, not like this BS like we've seen in the past, how strong does he look now? And maybe strong enough that that's your feud. Maybe you have Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan go at it again, this time with Bray Wyatt in all storyline looking like he's destroyed John Cena.
I like it because I always felt that Bray Wyatt was going to be one of the early contenders for Bryan as soon as Bryan became champion, because Bray beat him clean at the Royal Rumble. But the only thing that worries me about your logic behind this is that I think Vince McMahon and the management is going to think that, you know what, as soon as the numbers start looking bad, especially with TV on Monday Night Raw, because the WWE Network is going to compensate for whatever they're going to lose. Like, the pay-per-view buys or whatever, people are locked in, people are going to be watching no matter what. But as soon as things start looking bad otherwise, they're going to look for any excuse to bring John Cena back on the drop of a dime, because they feel like he is one of the main reasons, which he is, as to why the WWE has been kind of remaining above water, keeping their head above water, being as successful as they are. As soon as things look bad, they're going to blame Bryan, and they're going to bring Cena back.
Okay, if that's your thing, and that's the worry, fine. A month from now, if the ratings aren't looking good, we'll bring John Cena back, but not wrestling. We're going to bring him back and slowly rehabbing. He was so beaten up by Bray Wyatt. We all have marveled about how John Cena is this Superman, and he can come back from anything. And he's done stupid things in the past. Well, what if you kayfabed it that this time he couldn't? That this time he had to struggle to rehab. And he's struggling to get back. You're still getting him on TV. All the little kids are getting to see John Cena. And, oh, they can write him cards and letters. Get well soon. Hustle, loyalty, respect, all of that. Come back and build to his big return at SummerSlam.
Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, I like the idea in theory. It's just that you'd have to have the Wyatt family do something really insane to Cena to keep him out that long.
Well, obviously, they're going to kill him. Like, they're going to beat him within an inch of his life.
But we've seen that happen to Cena before.
Yeah, but this time he's not going to get up. That'll be the difference. I hate to use this guy because I don't like him, but Corey Graves' little tattoo, it's going to apply to this angle. Cena's going to stay down. He's not getting back up this time. All the fruity pebbles, all the little kids cheering, it's not going to happen.
Well, let's see if it plays out that way.
I think it's better than whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Whenever we discuss these kind of ideas, it's always better than what we're going to get, but we know that they're never going to listen and they're never going to do what's best for business, which they always praise on TV.
I'm just saying, like, people say, oh, yeah, I couldn't book and stuff like that. I think I've proven that I could book some stuff.
You can book, which is a lot better than what we've been seeing.
By the way, Invitational, Ronda Rousey can still show up.
Oh, God, get Vicky Guerrero out of there and put the Ronda Rousey Divas Invitational, and she just goes out there.
No, she could just come out and, like, armbar everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it would be great. Not only does she win the match, she taps out every girl in the match and then announces in the ring she's leaving the UFC. Screw you, Dana White. I'm here in the WWE. That's not happening either.
Yeah, I know.
That's not even good booking. That's just, like, you know, if you want to just have, like, some crazy fantasy booking, there it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I think the John Cena one that I laid out, I think that works. I think it works. It works for not just for Bray Wyatt, but it works for Daniel Bryan too. Because Daniel, the problem I had with this whole, when we get to this whole thing, go back to how this all started. John Cena put over Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. He was injured. He was supposed to be gone. And they never really gave Daniel Bryan the ball to run with on his own.
Mm-hmm.
This would be almost correcting that.
It would.
It would correct the mistake that they made. And that concern that I had for what do you do about Daniel Bryan when this is all done at WrestleMania, I think I solved it.
Uh-huh.
You have him feud with Bray Wyatt, and eventually he comes out on top in that, and then Bray Wyatt has to face the music with John Cena at SummerSlam.
Right.
And you move on to your next program for Daniel Bryan, whoever that would be.
Mm-hmm. Works for me.
Hey! You know, if you like it, kids, keep listening to the podcast. I come up with these crazy ideas. They're pretty good. And then, what have we missed anything on this card? We haven't really, have we?
Yeah, we've pretty much described everything, which is not exciting, but that just goes to show how bad. Well, I wouldn't say bad. There is some bright spots.
No, a lot of the build for this card has been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it. The only good build has been Bray Wyatt and John Cena. It really has. I mean, I think Triple H means well in what he's trying to do with the whole Daniel Bryan angle, but I think he's shoving Bryan to the side. This is lately the booking has been all this feuding between him and Batista and Randy Orton, and that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, unless, oh boy, I'm going to put my Booker hat on again. Are you ready for this?
Oh, here we go.
Triple H loses the match to Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because it's Triple H, and he has to get in on stuff, he actually helps Daniel Bryan win the title.
He helps Daniel Bryan win the title?
Because Daniel Bryan, in that match, actually earned his respect, and he clearly doesn't have any respect for Batista right now, who insulted his wife, for God's sakes, and Randy Orton, who has just been a bitter disappointment to him.
God, that would be so fitting because Triple H has been like teetering on the face and heel turn like this entire time. Like, I mean, the last couple of weeks he's been hardcore heel, but before that he was like he'd have his moments as a face and then he'd have his moments as a bad guy, and we didn't know exactly what he was. But I mean, this would just make him a bona fide face if he was to help Daniel Bryan win.
And the internet wouldn't like it, but Triple H doesn't really concern himself with them. And then maybe then coming out of it, maybe you actually have some dissension between Stephanie and Hunter, and maybe Vince comes back into the mix.
Yeah, I think Vince is going to come back eventually. I don't know how soon.
Well, they have been saying that Vince is going to come back as the face and go against Hunter and Stephanie, but I almost you almost have kind of a... Vince always works better with Stephanie,
mm-hmm.
I think, because Stephanie is always that daddy's little girl. So
right.
If her and Hunter had an on-screen feud over this, you could easily see Vince falling in behind Stephanie, and, you know, who knows where you go with that, but a lot of fun could be had with it, I'm sure. And they always like getting those McMahon storylines into the show, and you definitely have one there.
Well, we're getting to that point, you know. They've been kind of teasing Vince's comeback with Triple H and Stephanie saying, this is our company, we run the show. And in the back of your mind, you're like, well, you know, Vince is kind of still the guy with complete control over everything, and it's just a matter of time before he shows up. But.
And not one other thing, too, and not that the WWE is ever good at, like, continuity and going back into storylines, but way back in this, there was one time where Stephanie and Hunter had some heat, and Stephanie kind of put Hunter in his place and sort of said, well, this is my company, and kind of intimated that, you know, you wouldn't have anything without me. And then Batista, actually this is on SmackDown, which will be coming up tonight, but Batista cuts a promo where he talks about Hunter wouldn't have anything he has without Stephanie. So he brought that point up again. So maybe that's where we're going with all this.
More wishful booking, but at least this booking has the chance of actually taking place. Sorry, Rousey.
I'm just saying, like, they planted seeds that you could go that way. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I think these seeds are going to blossom into something more. That's the thing.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe, just maybe, maybe Hunter actually wants back in the ring for a little while.
I don't see why he would. But,
or the company does, one or the other. Usually it's the company wants Hunter back in the ring.
Well, he's the best heel in the company right now, but he's not an active performer.
Yeah, so maybe this is a way that you get Hunter in the ring for a bit, because if he's feuding with Stephanie, then obviously Stephanie's not going to let him be the business suit guy and just kind of sit in the background.
Hey, if he can juggle all of that, because even though on TV it would be a different story, we know he's still going to be doing all of his day-to-day stuff.
Oh, obviously.
But if he can juggle all of that, all of the power to him, because after watching that the DVD of his, which we brought up earlier, and all of the work he has to do every week, that would to be an active competitor again, that would be something special on his part.
And, I mean, he goes down to NXT every week. He runs that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, I mean, JBL is the de facto commissioner of NXT.
Which means nothing.
But yet, every time there's a ruling in NXT, it is Hunter that comes out and makes it.
Yeah.
So, take that for what you will. But I think, you know, Hunter likes to be in the spotlight, and I think everyone agrees with that, or the company likes to have him in the spotlight. Whichever it is, you can debate, but this would be a way where he gets firmly implanted in all of that, and it all kind of makes sense in a way.
It does.
That everyone would agree with it or like it, but I think, and when you factor in Daniel Bryan's the type of guy, and I listened to an interview he did with Brian Fritz where he says this. He doesn't campaign for anything. He's not like CM Punk. He's not going to say no to a storyline.
Uh-huh.
So if this is what the company wants, Daniel Bryan's rolling with it.
Right.
So
he's saying all the right things.
Yeah, because he is the anti-CM Punk in that respect.
Uh-huh.
He is the total opposite of Punk in that regard. And who knows if any of this happens, but I think clearly they have to be as concerned for after WrestleMania as they do WrestleMania itself, because the other chip that still has to fall, we're gonna get numbers on this network right after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So we're going to know how good they've done with the network or not.
Mm-hmm.
Then, the next big chip to fall is where the heck Raw and all their programming is going. And for that, they need strong ratings, and they need stuff that will draw to get them that big TV deal that they want.
That's true, yeah.
So, it's an important time for the WWE, not just with WrestleMania, but after that as well. And I think it'll all be interesting to see how they go about trying to make all that work. And interesting times lie ahead, and those interesting times obviously impact on Impact as well, TNA, because they could be out of business if this works the wrong way. Their contract is up as well. And who knows what Spike TV is going to do with them, if Spike TV is even interested in WWE or wrestling at all at this point. They own an MMA promotion. They're not getting rid of Bellator, but TNA Impact? I don't know.
It could be on their last legs over there, Dixie Carter and the gang. I wouldn't want to talk about TNA because I honestly haven't watched a lot of their programming.
No, I'm just saying, like, from a company standpoint, like, forget their storylines and all that. Their business is in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Their business is hanging on by a thread.
It's because they don't have people in charge that either A, know wrestling, or B, know how to allocate money.
And then, to close this out, we'll mention ROH. One of the things that ROH announced as well, they're going back to iPay-per-view. That card in Toronto and New York City are both going to iPay-per-view, and if people are familiar with the history with ROH and iPay-per-view, that really cut the legs out from under this company. It did them damage to no end. But this time they're going with Ustream. They have their fingers crossed this is going to work out for them. And I sure hope it does, because their product right now is so good. Everything that I have a problem with about WWE, ROH is doing right with the people they have.
They're hit because they have wrestling people in charge of that company, and they're the superstars that are coming in. They're getting a lot of names from the past, like the Chris Heroes and the AJ Styles of the world, but it's just a solid all-around company, and that's why I'm really hoping I can get tickets to this event in Toronto, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Global Wars, May 10th, in New York City, already sold out. You can't go to that.
What?
It's sold out.
It's sold out.
Gramercy, the ballroom, it's sold out. It has been for a couple weeks. You can get it on iPay-per-view now, though.
As long as the iPay-per-view kind of the stream works, you know.
Well, although you'll hear what happens in Toronto. So if it works in Toronto, good chance it'll work in New York City.
That's true.
Hoping it does for those guys, though, because they are really 2014. Has been a huge, huge year for ROH. If you've liked them in the past and you've soured on them, go back. Give it a chance. I really like the way this company is. The biggest thing I like about this company is everything in that company revolves around that world title.
Mm-hmm. As the way it should be for any wrestling
company. As cold and dead as Randy Orton is, as your WWE world heavyweight champion, Adam Cole as your ROH world champion is so huge right now.
Night and day.
Like, he is the most important person on that show because everyone else makes him that. Because everyone else wants that belt. And, you know, even the little hiccup they've had with Matt Hardy, I don't know why he hasn't been around, maybe with his legal issues or whatever. They've even solved that. They plugged in Michael Bennett and Maria Kanellis, and now they're working with Adam Cole and filling the role of Matt Hardy like he wasn't even in the storyline to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been brilliant what they've done, and I really can't stress. Like, I've never been to an ROH show. I've never had a desire to go to an ROH show. This will be the first ROH show I'm ever going to in Toronto on May the 10th. So it's not like I'm one of these ROH fans from way back in the day and CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe and all that. No, I've seen all that stuff, but I was never that hardcore ROH fan. Not that there's anything wrong with those people. I'm not saying that. But that wasn't me.
Right.
But this company's impressed me to the point that, I don't know, maybe 6 months from now, that will be me.
Yeah, well, maybe one day they'll even become the number two company in North America. Who knows?
They could be the number two company in North America very quickly with what could happen for TNA.
Yeah.
Faster than you think, they could be number two.
It's a shame that ROH doesn't already have kind of like, and TNA doesn't have a lot of money, but kind of the...
Oh, they do have money, but they just, Panda Energy isn't spending it on TNA.
Yeah. I just wish ROH kind of had more of an aesthetic, you know, like the big backgrounds or whatnot. I mean, they're doing like little shows, which is fine because that gets them by. But if they kind of had the production value that TNA had, like, God, if ROH and TNA basically switched places, we'd be praising the hell out of the number two company in North America right now.
Yeah, I think it's coming for ROH. It just takes time. Sinclair hasn't always been willing to put a lot of money into ROH.
Yeah,
I think. You know, you start selling out shows like they did in New York City. They're probably going to sell out Toronto. Their product is really hot right now. Maybe they start to rethink that and put some more money into this product. It certainly is worth your time. You know, we focus a lot on WWE on this show because that is the major leagues of wrestling. I think no one's kidding anyone about that, but I just think the stuff that's going on in ROH is pretty fantastic, and I always like to give them their little bit of shine on this podcast because I think they deserve it.
They do deserve it, and you're right, and you're absolutely fair in your evaluation of the company. It's a good time to be a Ring of Honor fan, and it's a good time to be working for Ring of Honor.
Yeah, maybe. It might well be. I think one of the things, to wrap this up, one of the things when I was talking with Brian Fritz, we brought up the whole idea of, if you're a young wrestler today on the indies, what company do you want to go to, TNA or ROH? Mm-hmm. I think there's no question the answer is ROH, because yeah. ROH has proven to be that pathway to the WWE. The legacy of the number of guys they have put in the WWE is a growing list and an impressive one. I mean, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Seth Rollins from The Shield,
Cesaro.
Like, it's a who's who of who the top guys are in WWE right now.
It's the other developmental, basically, for WWE.
It's better than NXT at this point.
Right.
Like, let's be honest. NXT has only been around for, like, a little while. But they have produced more talent for the WWE than NXT has. And I mean, even if Sami Zayn makes it, he's not a product of the NXT system. He's a product of ROH that went to NXT.
Yeah, but WWE will take credit for the
of course they will, because yeah. they took a mask off him and gave him a little funny hat, and they made him, you know, different. Because
so the fans chanting ole, ole, ole at him is not the WWE. That's because they know of his work in Ring of Honor.
You know what? One of the most snarky internet things that I found so funny was...
What?
The WWE came up with the whole Matador gimmick simply to stop Sami Zayn from getting the Olay chant.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they gave it to the Los Matadores
well,
to get it off of Zayn.
Well, that's what the internet says. I don't know if the
that
WWE...
That wouldn't shock me, though. That wouldn't shock me.
Okay, you're really a conspiracy theorist. I didn't realize this.
I am. You don't know this about me?
Not to this level. I mean,
well,
that
you know.
That's going, like, way out of the box. I don't think... I'd be surprised if the people at the upper level of the WWE realized that Sami Zayn got an Ole chant.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
I'll hold on to my Jesse Ventura cap and hold on to my conspiracy.
Hey, Jesse Ventura, one of the greatest color commentators in the biz. Go back and watch old Jesse Ventura stuff.
Agreed.
It is fantastic. Hopefully this podcast was somewhat fantastic. I had a good time as well. I got to play Fantasy Booker a little bit and all of that. So, you know, it worked out well. We talked some WrestleMania. Obviously, the go-home show for WrestleMania will be coming up this week. And the next time we talk to you, it will be literally days from WrestleMania.
We'll have to throw down our picks next week.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, for whatever it's worth. I can't believe you can gamble on wrestling.
On a predetermined outcome, you can gamble on it.
It's shocking to me. Like, I mean, how has someone in that company not, like, kind of been able to manipulate the system and gamble on wrestling and make
yeah.
a ton of money?
Pull a Tim Donahue already and just make some cash off of this.
That'll be the big scandal. Vince McMahon bet on wrestling.
Under a different moniker, Vince is hitting the gambling sites and putting money down on friggin' Daniel Bryan and The Undertaker at WrestleMania, make himself a little bit of change.
That's why the rumors are about him actually thinking about selling the company, because he's making all this money gambling on wrestling.
Yeah.
He's getting out while the getting's good.
That's true.
Part of that was true, the part about him considering selling this company.
It is true,
The
yeah.
part of him gambling on wrestling was not true, for
yeah,
all you conspiracy
obviously.
Theorists out there. But that being said, we are all done. We're out of time. We're over time, actually. But it is the road to WrestleMania, so I think you're allowed to be a little overtime on the road to WrestleMania.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, I should, like, we should have went out with, like, Undertaker theme, the biker gimmick.
Back in the day
when Undertaker was not an old man.
Play a little American Badass.
Nah, we're not doing it. We're going out the way we always go out, with Randy Savage, because this is the podcast of Savage's Condo on the Moon.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better. More questions!
I'm sorry about that.
Goodbye!